Grazie.
Good morning, everyone. If you could please sit down and end your conversations, I'd like to get this started. If you have any cell phones, I'd kindly ask for you to turn them off or put them on silent. Great. Thank you, everyone, for coming today. I know it's it takes time out of work and your other errands to be here today. I recognize this is a very big project in Hollywood, and so I just want to start off by telling you that we appreciate your coming out. And if you're not able to attend, or if you know others that aren't able to attend, please feel free to let everyone know that they're welcome to submit letters and emails to the file. All of that correspondence is included in the record. And all of that is considered on the planning department's behalf and is considered as part of our recommendation to the decision makers on this project. So the way it's going to work is we're going to present the project. I'm the advisory agency on behalf of the city. We'll be acting on the tentative track map today. We'll either be approving, disapproving, or holding under advisement. To my right is my colleague. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Melinda Geyer, Department of Recreation and Parks.
And to my left?
Alejandro Huerta with Major Projects.
The order in which we're going to be conducting this hearing is first you're going to make sure that your cell phones are off or on silent. And then I'm going to present the tentative tract information and what will be before us today. Alejandro is the hearing officer on behalf of the City Planning Commission. He'll be taking testimony and he'll be asking questions. We'll both be asking questions, in fact, and we'll try to do our best to get you the information that you need today, and if we cannot, we'll make sure that that's clear by before the end of the hearing. If you would like a copy of the decision letter today, or for any decision letter that is issued, please make sure to sign the pink sheet, which is in the back of the room. You can either include your mailing address or your email. Just make sure it's legible so that we can send it to you. If you want a copy of the staff report relative to the Planning Department's recommendation to the City Planning Commission, that same pink sheet will provide you, you're over here. That same pink sheet will give you a copy of that recommendation report once it's prepared. Hi, Georgia. Do you want to introduce yourself? Introduce yourself. Oh, you have to turn it on. Just tap it.
Georgia Galvanesian, Bureau of Engineering.
Julia Lee.
Okay. So we'll introduce the case. Alejandro will present his preamble relative to the CPC case. The applicant will come up to prepare or present their presentation. Following that, we will open up to public comment. And so what we'll do is we'll ask you to form a line and come up, and what we need you to do is to state your name and your address, and then to give us your comments about this project.
Okay, so good morning. I'm Alejandro Huerta again. I'm the hearing officer assigned to case number CPC 2015-2025 DBMCUPCUSPR involving the property at the Crossroads of the World site. I am conducting this hearing on behalf of the City Planning Commission. The proposed project is for the construction of the Crossroads Hollywood mixed-use development consisting of 950 residential apartments, a 308-key hotel, and 190,000 square feet of commercial uses, 68,000 square feet of which are currently existing. The project is requesting the following entitlements. The project is reserving 11% or 105 units for very low-income households, and utilizing parking option 1 with the following on-menu incentives. A, to permit a 35% increase in the maximum allowable floor area ratio, or FAR, from 2:1 to 2.7:1 for the C4-2D-SN portion of the site and parcel E1, and from 3:1 to 4.05:1 FAR for the C4-2D portion of the site. In addition, another on-menu incentive is to permit the averaging of floor area for an average FAR of approximately 3.26:1 across the site, density, parking, and open space on two or more contiguous lots, and permitting vehicular access from a less restrictive zone to a more restrictive zone, and C, an off-menu incentive to permit an approximately 16.51% increase of 3.8:1 FAR in lieu of approximately 3.26:1 FAR averaged across the site. In addition, the project is requesting conditional uses to permit a master conditional use permit to permit the on-site and off-site sale, dispensing, and consumption of a full line of alcoholic beverages in connection with a total of 22 establishments associated with the project's proposed hotel and commercial uses. A master conditional use to permit 8 uses with public dancing and live entertainment, and a major development project for a project creating 250 or more hotel guest rooms. And finally, the project is requesting site plan review for a project resulting in an increase of 50 or more dwelling units. Today, the Deputy Advisory Agency will consider certification and adoption of the Environmental Impact Report and vesting tentative track pack number 73568. The purpose of this hearing is for interested parties to provide testimony. No decision on these entitlements will be made today. People wishing to speak or submit written testimony about this case should do so during this hearing. After the hearing, I will prepare a written staff report containing the Planning Department's recommendations to the City Planning Commission. Anyone wishing to be notified of the Planning Commission hearing should provide their name and address on the pink form in the back of the room. The purpose of today's hearing is to meet the legal notice and hearing requirements prior to the commission taking an action, as well as for obtaining public input for preparation of my recommendation report. If anyone wishes to submit additional information to the commission or take exception to the staff report or recommendations, they should do so in writing prior to the commission hearing. The procedure for today's hearing is as follows. First, I will hear from the applicant or their representative. Second, I will hear from any interested parties wishing to speak. Please limit your comments to the subject matter of this hearing and direct all your statements to me and not to others in the room. If you wish to speak, please state your name and address for the record. Third, the applicant and planning staff will have an opportunity to respond to questions. At the close of public comment, the Deputy Advisory Agency will consider the vesting tentative track map. So may I now hear from the applicant and his or her representative.
morning, Deputy Advisory Agency and Hearing Officer. Thank you for letting us present today. We're excited to present the project that we're proposing today. It consists of 9 new buildings. 8 of them are mixed use. 1 of them is a commercial building, as well as a new additional parking structure on Selma Avenue. As the hearing officer mentioned, we have 308 hotel rooms, 950 rental units, 105 of which are very low income affordable units, and 190,000 square feet of commercial uses, which includes the renovated Crossroads of the World property and the Hollywood Reporter building. And at the end of the day, we're going to have a total of 2,283 parking spaces.
I'm sorry, before you continue, can you just state your name and your organization?
Yes, of course. Okay. My name is Kendra Casper from DLA Piper. I'm a representative of the applicant.
One last thing. Can you get a little bit closer to the mic, please? Thanks.
Okay. So I'm usually quite loud, so I was trying not to overwhelm everybody. But anyways, so here's the project site for our modified project. As you can see, we're in close proximity to the metro station, so we're considered a transit priority area. Here's our project site, and we refer to it as the modified project site because we had an original project that was presented in the draft EIR, and we went out and did a lot of community outreach and heard feedback from the community and made a number of changes to come up with the project that we're actually presenting to you today. So just a quick overview, like I already said, this is the new project, including the parking structure on Selma and our new 105 affordable units. So in order for us to kind of discuss the project we're presenting today, we wanted to go back and give everybody a little reminder of the original project, where we started, and how we got to where we are today. This is the original project site. Again, you can see that it's missing one of the parcels, but it's still in a transit priority area very close to transit. The outline of the original project site. You can see highlighted in red here we have the Crossroads of the World project, Crossroads of the World site. That has always been sort of the gem of our project and kind of what we designed and envisioned the whole project around was bringing Crossroads of the World back to its original heritage as a retail, open air, kind of pedestrian experience. You can see here some pictures of the original Crossroads of the World when it first opened in 1936 as the first outdoor pedestrian mall in the country. Next, you can see the existing conditions on Crossroads. It doesn't live up to what it was originally made for. You can see there's gates on the property. A lot of people don't even know that you can actually enter the property, and we want to get rid of that. We want to open it to the public, and you can see it's just sort of fallen into a bit of disrepair, and there's a large parking lot in the center of Crossroads that was never meant to be there in the first place. We also have some existing condition pictures of the site as it exists today. You can see Sunset Boulevard, McAdden, Las Palmas. So it needs some work and some love and some attention. So to start off talking about our original project objectives, which have moved with us from the beginning of the project and even into the modified project, but our main objective was to rehabilitate and revitalize the historic Crossroads of the World. We wanted to complement and support Crossroads of the World with retail, residential, and hotel uses to revive an underserved corner of Hollywood. If you look at where the project is today, there's been a lot of redevelopment, a lot of revitalization all around, but this kind of site was left in the middle. It's a very important site, having Crossroads there, with nothing new and nothing revitalized there to show for it. We were also very concerned with promoting walkability, and we wanted to enhance community connectivity, particularly since we're so close to the metro station. And we wanted to create a destination where people can live, work, dine, shop, stay, and play. It's meant to be an all-in-one kind of project where it's a truly mixed-use project that has all the uses that a person would need. So you can see on the next slide, this is the area as it exists today. And next, this is just an overview of what the original project we proposed to be. The original project had a similar kind of mix of uses, But we had condos and apartments. We did not have the parking structure at that time. We were realigning Las Palmas at sunset to create what we thought was a safer condition. And we had also 95,000 square feet of creative office space on the Crossroads of the World site. Just to give you a little bit of an idea of the project outreach that we did for this project, we met with Hollywood Heritage, the Conservancy, we met with the Neighborhood Council several times, the Planning PVP, CD13 Design Review, the Hollywood Chamber, the Blessed Sacrament Church, LAPD, LAFD, Hollywood High School. We had several meetings with our existing tenants. We have both existing residential and existing commercial tenants. We had several meetings with them and the Hollywood Network Coalition, just to name a few. We got a lot of feedback during this process, and these were the major things that we heard from the groups that we went to. They wanted us to reduce the height next to Crossroads to be more respectful to Crossroads of the World. Increase the scale of the public spaces where possible to make sure that the community and people visiting the site had ample outdoor recreational areas to be in. They actually asked us as well to save historic resources, and there was particular interest in the former Hollywood Reporter building. They wanted us to leave the Las Palmas alignment as is. They liked that condition and didn't feel like it was an unsafe condition and wanted us to leave that. We also heard comments about our pedestrian paseo. They wanted us to make it more compatible with Crossroads and the surrounding community. And they wanted us to create stronger connections between Sunset Boulevard and Hollywood Boulevard to make sure that our goal of creating connectivity in the community actually came to fruition. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Paul Dana from SOM. He is our architect on the project, and he's going to discuss how we took the feedback from the community and enhanced our project.
Thank you, Kendra. Good morning, members of the advisory agency. My name is Paul Dana. I'm design director with Skidmore, Owings & Merrill. As Kendra said, the project has changed a bit over the past year. The original project objectives have remained the same. We thought they were important then, we think they're important now, but we've added two to the list. And those two came out of the community feedback that we received. So one, to rehabilitate and revitalize the Hollywood Reporter building, and two, to respond and incorporate the community feedback that we received. Kendra described the fact that via the agreement with Blessed Sacrament Church, the design site has also been modified just a bit. This slide focuses, and in red you see here that additional area that is part of the project. The intent for that piece of the project is to locate parking there. And the reason for that, adjacent to Selma, the reason for that is to support, to stimulate, to really help ensure that the Crossroads of the World buildings that are at the north end of the site and adjacent to Selma are not left out on their own, not a dead end, that people will move past them, business will be done, and it will survive and thrive. This drawing incorporates the changes that we've made. My colleague Mike Zubek will describe those in more detail in just a minute. It also presents the new facts and figures. Kendra has gone over a few of those, but in particular, we wanted to note these three changes. The facts that we've increased the very low income affordable unit number from 84 to 105. The fact that the parking has been reduced by 211 spaces, and that the overall project area has been reduced by over 51,000 square feet. So with these changes, the project program is still, we believe, a very strong and appropriate complement to the existing land uses. This diagram shows those existing land uses as they're distributed about the site today. The blue is commercial, the gold residential. And so what you see in this next slide, with the incorporation of our new commercial pieces, we really start to bind the gap between Hollywood Boulevard and Sunset, one of the requests that we heard clearly from the community groups, and we just support that overall pedestrian network and network of commercial uses in this part of Hollywood. This second image describes how the new residential and hospitality components of our project will complement and work with the other developments that are going on along Selma to make that quite a strong residential and hospitality corridor within this part of the city. So to describe some of the other more physical design changes, I'll turn the floor over to Mike.
Thank you. My name is Mike Jubeck. I'm with Skidmore, Owings & Merrill. So over the next few slides, I'll be presenting design changes to the modified project relating to the Las Palmas alignment, incorporating the Hollywood Reporter into the project design, the former Hollywood Reporter building, and refining the pedestrian paseo as well as the evolution of the tower design. So this slide shows the current state of Las Palmas. You can see it going north to south, and as it steps from west to east. And the proposed project, or in the modified project, you can see that we've maintained the Las Palmas alignment. The next slide shows the former Hollywood Reporter building in red. And you can see here, we've kept the Hollywood Reporter incorporated into the current design of the project. So currently, Hollywood Reporter building is in need of repairs, but we think there's great potential, and we think it's a way to anchor the southern portion of the project. And here you can see a rendering showing, we've looked at some historic photographs, and we would be developing this per the Secretary of Interior standards. We think the use could be either retail or restaurant. And zooming back a little bit so we can see it within context, you can see the residential tower next to it, and as well as some of the commercial portions of the project as well. And now to see some of the impact that keeping the alignment of Las Palmas and incorporating the Hollywood Reporter, this is the original project. You can see the three-story commercial building kind of in the center of the image. Go to the next image. Now you can see that we've reduced the scale of the commercial building next to Crossroads of the World, and you can also see the Hollywood Reporter. So we've lifted up the tower, created a pedestrian plaza so that it's visible from both the west and east approach. And so now to focus a little bit on some of the feedback we received on the pedestrian paseo design. This is highlighting Crossroads of the World, our inspiration for the project, but as Kendra explained, it's currently bisected by parking and it's gated on all sides, although you can access it, but currently in need of some work. So we took the initial inspiration and thought about the intent of Crossroads of the World and how could we bring the spirit of that and draw it through the rest of the project. And so for our original project paseo design, we had a strong diagonal connection that went from Sunset Boulevard and connected to the northwest corner of Hollywood, or Highland and Selma. And so we still thought that that was a strong move, but we wanted to take cues from Crossroads of the World and take some of the scale changes and the pedestrian scale and bring it into the rest of the project. This also allows us to have additional connections to Hollywood Boulevard. You can see it in the center north portion of this site plan. And the other thing that it's really important to note is that there is no back door to this project. You know, we're improving the pedestrian experience throughout the site. One of the other things we're doing to create a more walkable experience is creating a smaller parcel size. So we think it's important that you can move through the site and around the site. So this diagram showing that. And we were also inspired by the nautical-themed building that's on the south side of Crossroads. And we think that we're proposing two of these Paseo entry pavilions as a wayfinding device that helps you navigate through the site and around it. We've also, for safety reasons and for traffic reasons, we've kept the service entries on McKedden and Las Palmas. So you can see them in red. And then we've reduced the amount of service entries on Selma
and there are no service entries off of Sunset Boulevard. All right, and so we've also been working closely with Rios Clemente Hale to develop the landscape design of the project. Here you can see a landscape site plan, and again, to reiterate that all edges of the site, including some areas that are not a part of the project site, we're proposing to develop and improve the streetscape. Here, this diagram showing how we envision this as a series of connected pedestrian plazas, so really to be a part of the community. And so next I'm going to walk through a few project views starting on the south of the project on Sunset, so those arrows on the bottom edge of the diagram, and then we'll go through the middle and then on the north side. So this is a sunset view to the west. You can see the two residential buildings as well as the hotel in the center of the image. Here you can see Crossroads of the World, as well as the lower height of the C1 building, two stories now. And here, looking at Hollywood Reporter again, we've lifted the tower to create a plaza there, and then we'll zoom into that on this next image. So here, looking in between, we've created a buffer, a space in between the former Hollywood Reporter building and our residential building. We also think that there is potential for outdoor retail and restaurant, and potentially a connection to the low-rise residential to the north. Here's a view on north on Las Palmas, so you can see street trees and the general character of the scale of the residential, you know, breaking the scale down. And now we're on Selma Avenue in Highland, looking east. This is the hotel. The bottom two floors are set back to allow for a large pedestrian plaza there. And a view west on Selma, looking west, next to the low-rise residential building on Selma. And now a view south at Selma and McCadden. This is an interesting connection point between Hollywood Boulevard and you can see one of the pavilions that is a wayfinding device to move through the project. You can also see the character of the low-rise residential and the hotel to the right of the image. And finally, a view west, looking west in the center of the Paseo, you can see the Blessed Sacrament, and that's a view east in the center of the Paseo. And so now to kind of zoom out, this next slide we were basically standing where the center of this site plan is located. And you can see, we think of this project as it's in the center of Hollywood. It's within 10 minutes of transit, Hollywood and Highland, and you can walk to the arc light in 20 minutes. So we think that this is all about increasing connectivity in Hollywood. Another thing we're developing is a mobility hub that's located north on the north side of the project on Selma, for bike access, and also there's bike access for residential and commercial potential as well. And the final thing I would like to talk about is the tower design. Here I've highlighted the towers in red, and we've located the towers at the major intersections of the project. And to take a look at the original project tower design, you can see the Sunset Residential Tower and Selma Tower were very similar. They were lifted onto a podium, and they were primarily glass, and we did that because we thought it was reinforcing, the intent was to reinforce that diagonal paseo. And we heard feedback that said difference is appropriate in this location, so we're now proposing to lift the Sunset Tower at the plaza level so that it highlights the Hollywood Reporter. And Selma, the tower on Selma, now steps back to relate to the adjacent neighborhood scale. And here you can see two images of the towers.
So I'd like to just wrap up our presentation by going through a couple other points about the project. First, we are an environmental leadership development project certified by the governor of California. The requirements for this are a minimum of $100 million investment in California, in which we're doing several times that amount, creating high-wage, highly skilled jobs, meeting prevailing wage and living wage requirements, transportation efficiencies. We actually reduce vehicle miles traveled by 36%. Our project will be net zero for GHG gases by the purchase of credits. We're located on an urban infill site. We have a PLA. The project will be LEED Silver. Also, the ELDP certification shortens our litigation period to 9 months. Just to briefly touch on sustainability features of the project, our project will be 15% more efficient than California Title 24 requires now. That's actually the most stringent standards in the country, so we're actually going to be 15% better than that. Also, the project is going to be providing solar panels at a minimum of 135 kilowatts. We have EV-ready parking, construction recycling. We're reducing outdoor water utilization by 50%, indoor water utilization by 35%. Next, to briefly touch on our project benefits. We're still working through the project benefits process, but just to name a few, we have additional streetscape improvements along Las Palmas, Selma, and Sunset. What we're trying to do is, as we talked about a lot, is our project is focused on the pedestrian and walkability and connectivity, and we want to enhance kind of the whole area and not just within the limits of our project site. We're going to have movie screens that are internal to the Paseo in order to facilitate community events, and the community will be able to use those. We're also, another thing is we're working with the LAPD on a potential substation in the project and also potential staffing, extra staffing to help with the project. That's just to name a few. We're also working with our neighbor, the Blessed Sacrament Church. We're going to be adding solar panels in their parking area. We're going to be creating a garden for them. Their school would really like a garden for them to take to work with their school. We'll be doing greenbelt and landscape improvements and general beautification of the site. It's a beautiful site now, but it needs some love, and we're here to give it that. The next slides discuss the project entitlements, but since the hearing officer already reviewed those, I don't think that we need to highlight them again, except to say that our original project included a zone change that modified the delimitation, and we're no longer asking for that. We're just asking for a density bonus with additional FAR incentives. So finally, I wanted to talk a little bit about the economic benefits of the project. So our total hard construction cost of Crossroads Hollywood is estimated at approximately $600 million, which is going to generate over 5,000 jobs, over $37 million in state and local taxes annually. As I discussed a little earlier, we have a project labor agreement with the construction unions, and part of that will include participation in the Helmets to Hard Hats program, which actually employs veterans and helps veterans get jobs. So lastly, I just wanted to talk about the Bureau of Engineering conditions. We received those conditions late last week, and we are going to be requesting a few minor modifications to those conditions, and I have a letter here. That I wanted to submit for the record to that describes why and actually puts forth the requests for the changes in these conditions, and there's also some exhibits attached that you can see what we're asking for. Generally, we're asking for some modifications on Las Palmas related to a traffic improvement. That's a mitigation measure for our project, and we're also asking for additional street widening, additional sidewalk widening, that's not required, but at the end of the day, all the applicable street standards will be improved to the mobility plan. So first, we're asking for modifications to condition two, and those are really the modifications that relate to our traffic improvement on Las Palmas. I don't know if you want me to read this all since you have the letter, but we're asking for minimum and maximums related to our street improvement.
And if you can just clarify, this is because you're no longer realigning Las Palmas, and so a lot of these changes are necessary to reflect.
Okay. So the original project, as we discussed earlier, we realigned Las Palmas. We were asked by the community to not do such a thing. We didn't. We changed the project. And in leaving that alone, it created the need for a different traffic improvement on Las Palmas, and that improvement requires additional sidewalk on Las Palmas.
With all due respect, as far as your first comment about dedicate extra strip of land to have a wider sidewalk, and which is behind the LA Mobility Plan, you're volunteering to do that?
Yes.
Unfortunately, based on the city attorneys, we cannot take any voluntary dedications or voluntary conditions, even if you agree, because if you sell the project to some other entity, they might come back and say, we don't want to do that. But the way you can do that is consider those extra areas that you want to dedicate as an extra sidewalk areas, make such a, as a planning department can ask for a setback, your voluntary setback from the property line, and you can have a hardscape the way you want it. And instead of being a public right-of-way, it could be private pedestrian walk or private sidewalk area. It's not going to be public. We don't want to take the liability of having an extra sidewalk. We have to kind of be in charge of it. And we see problem when we get to the final map area, and when they ask for dedication, we have to have a justification is why we are asking for more than is required. You're welcome to give us, to give the neighbors, to give the people, to give the city more sidewalk area, but could be private, could be as like a setback for you. And you'll be in charge of it, you'll be in cleaning it out of it, you'll be in as liability. Anybody falls down there, anybody gets injured, whoever is the property owner will be liable for that, number one. So that part of our conditions as far as dedications, I'm not willing to change at all or recommend to advisory agency to change. Now the big one is your depth that you ask. Just like to bring it to advisory agency's attention that if you look at their revised map dated April 20th, they are proposing to go below the grade 5 feet as far as the limit. When we got this revised map, I presented this revised map to our immediate supervisor, to our senior manager, and our two principals. And they all told me that based on the policy we have, you cannot encroach less than 10 feet the way we wrote the property. We wrote the condition. We will not agree at all to change it from 10 to 5. That we saw you ask for 5, and that's why we said 10. So make sure that I'm not only speaking on my behalf, I just want to also tell the advisory agency that I had a meeting all the way to Edmund, you and the principal and the deputy. We do not allow anyone, not only you, to go 10 feet, above 10 feet below the grade. So basically, in the conclusion, I have to say that all of our recommendation, we request that stay as reported to advisory agency.
Okay, but does this include the realignment of Las Palmas?
Well, they changed it. There's no realignment anymore. We changed that also in our revised report. We mentioned that the revised map is for, they have eliminated the alignment,
okay.
Realignment of the Las Palmas. We took that condition out. We used to have a condition there, how to do the alignment, realignment. And also we mentioned that they're going to, proposing only 5 feet below the grade encroachment. We said no, has to be 10.
Okay.
So our report really is accurate presentation of the revised map presented to you.
Okay. And so just a clarification, so you asked for an additional dedication for a sidewalk that's greater than the standard. Would the 5 foot, was the 5 foot subsurface dedication, was that based on the expanded sidewalk or based on the city standards?
I believe it's both, but let me check with my engineer.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Alex Moore. I'm the engineer on the project. The alignment, there's no longer a realignment on Las Palmas. What we're doing is over-dedicating or voluntary dedicating on the southbound of Las Palmas up to a maximum of 17 feet, which is about 12 feet over what is being required, and that's for not just additional sidewalk, but additional roadway as well.
Okay, so the additional dedication, is it to include an additional traffic lane to accommodate the
Correct.
Traffic? So if it's a requirement of a mitigation measure to provide that additional improvement, it's no longer voluntary. It just sounds like the way they described it is voluntary, but it's necessary to mitigate traffic at that intersection.
That's correct. It'll be, it's a
well, it could be,
measure.
Still, it could be as a private pedestrian walk area.
But if it's for vehicular traffic, at a recommendation from
There is no vehicular because there's no widening at all, any of the streets.
Right, but if they're accommodating an additional, I think I'm guessing a right turn.
No, there's no street widening at all, correct? There's the curb, the street alignment does not change. There's no additional roadway for the vehicles at all under our conditions. So basically.
Okay. I think there's a disconnect between DOT's requirement and what we're showing on the map based on that. So let's, do you want to hear from the traffic consultant? Hi.
Correct. There is a traffic improvement at that location. We are widening the roadway by 12 feet to accommodate an additional right turn lane. And so therefore, the widening or the dedication needs to also accommodate that roadway widening.
Very good. Yes, we've had this situation before. So what I would recommend to do is include that extra dedication as part of the DOT conditions, not engineering. So the DOT has to clear that condition.
Okay. So we'll coordinate with DOT on that language, and then we'll clarify the language is being corrected here. And it sounds like we're going to put this under advisement so we can work this out.
Yeah, DOT usually, basically, if they come to our B permit section, we're going to say, why are you dedicating? They're going to show the DOT conditions. And then we're going to go, because we have to send the plans to DOT for their approval.
Okay.
Could you state your name for the record?
Yeah.
Understand. This is Sarah Drobus from Gibson Transportation.
Yeah. So basically, you need to talk to DOT people saying that somehow on the decision letter, they have to include that additional dedication because they have to justify why to provide for a left turn, extra left turn.
So then the additional requirements are a reflection of that initial, that condition two modification that follows through to the other conditions, except that we're not budging on the 10 feet subsurface. It's going to stay at 10 feet.
And also, we're not going to include that extra dedication in our condition because it's a DOT requirement. So, in other words,
right.
All our recommendation will stay the way it was presented to you.
Correct.
Thank you.
So long as DOT has submitted something, you'll follow suit with DOT.
Yeah, but you know, because you have a DOT section here in your decision letter, so they have to say how much more dedication they need in order to provide right turn or left turn.
Okay, that's
so in order for you to have a finding and justification to prove it.
Okay.
And just two more things really quick related to conditions 9B and 9D. They actually provide for us to do things on property that we don't own. So we were asking for some of the ground lots to be revised, as well as on one portion, we do not own both sides of the street, so we cannot improve both sides of the street. So you can see those set forth in strike.
I think there are areas that you are... When we're saying both sides, we're actually mentioning, referring to the ground lot number, don't I? We're not asking the entire Las Palmas to be in both sides. That's what you think that's what your intent was, right? You're talking about Las Palmas, correct?
Correct, yes.
And then when we're saying on the both sides, it means adjoining the ground lot number 1 and 2 and 4... So we're mentioning those lot numbers. We're not saying the entire street.
Okay.
Right?
Sure. Well,
the lot numbers were revised, and that's why they're not matching it. Alex Moore, again, from DEA. I think what we're saying is that since from the original map and then the modified project, we changed the ground lot numbers, and so we just want to take a look at them again to make sure they're referencing them.
I know. You made my life miserable because I had to go back and look at all the numbers again and
That's
redo the
for.
Entire conditions, but I made sure that I'm referencing the right ground lots when we say both sides, it means both sides of a project.
Okay.
So I can add a writing here on both sides adjoining the project. So
we
make sure.
I just want to request that we just look at that again.
Would that be satisfactory to you? I said on both sides adjoining the project.
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
And that's it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so now we're going to go into the public hearing portion of the hearing. Let's take row by row. So to my left and to my right, the people in the first row, if you'd like to come up, please state your name and address and provide us with your testimony. Nobody on the first row? Okay, so on the second row, if you'd like to come up, if on both sides of the aisle, if you just come up, get in line, state your name and address, please.
Good morning. My name is Lisa Schechter. My address is 1040 North Las Palmas Avenue, Hollywood, California, 90038. I'm here as the executive director of the Hollywood Media District bid. Our board of directors voted unanimously to support this project. Crossroads Hollywood is a catalytic project that continues Hollywood's renaissance, provides job, housing, and stimulates our economy through increased tax and tourism dollars. This project provides new revenue streams that will generate millions of reoccurring dollars to the city, which pays for the police, fire, and also fills potholes. Please join us in supporting Crossroads Hollywood. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Juliana Sorelli. I live at 1715 North Serrano Avenue, 90027. I'm opposing to this project as I don't feel like the proportion and the setting is right for that kind of project. So most buildings are not 30 stories high around it. And on top of it, there will be tiptoeing in between other buildings that were there before that are protected by the city as historical buildings. So it seems very confusing, the proportions of and the size of the project, considering the size of the surroundings or even the width of the street it's going to be on. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. I have some physical copies of a letter that we submitted yesterday. My name is Al Farmer, and I am speaking today on behalf of the 30,000 members of Unite Here Local 11, the Hospitality Workers Union and Food Service Workers Union here in Southern California, LA and Orange County in Phoenix, Arizona. So we stand in opposition to this project as currently proposed and have entered the comment letter that you have now. We have many concerns with the project's environmental impact report and its effect, known significant impacts that are claimed to be mitigated, among many other things. We're for responsible development and equitable development. This project is very huge. We want development that improves the lives of everyone, the people who wind up living in those over 900 apartments, the people who work there in the hundreds of thousands of square feet of hotel and retail space, movie theaters, all of that, and the people who live in Hollywood right now, which are in every direction of this project. It is in the middle of a dense residential area. Sadly, despite this project's spectacular size, it does not appear to be improving the community very much right now. We heard from the applicant just now that they believe that one of the benefits they're giving to the community is a mitigation measure for street improvements that they're required to do. So if those are the kinds of benefits that we're seeing, we need to do better. The city is considering quite a massive subsidy for this project. The site is 172,000 square feet, and the total build out is 1.4 million square feet. It's a very large public subsidy to allow this such a large construction to happen. And if a development agreement is going to be put in place, we need to see, the people of Los Angeles need to see significant and substantial benefits from the developer and for the city if such a large subsidy is going to be given. Given its scope, this is obviously something that needs to happen. We want to see good development for this area, but it needs to fit the actual community. It needs to provide good jobs, not just jobs. It needs to provide good housing. And one thing that the project could do, among many others, would be to allow the rent stabilization ordinance to apply to all 950 of the apartments. It's frankly a joke that they get to build 950 and only 105 are going to be covenant affordable units. There are currently 84 RSO units already there. The rent stabilization ordinance could apply to all of them, and it should. Thank you.
Thank you. So for those in the third row to my left and to my right, if there's anyone wanting to speak, can you please line up and then make sure to state your name and address?
Good morning. I'm Ron Miller, Executive Secretary of the LA Orange County Building and Construction Trades Council. And I stand here on behalf of my 140,000 hardworking men and women that live in LA and Orange County, many thousands that live around this project, and stand to go to work there because of the work that we've done with the developer on this project to come up with an agreement to put local people to work, preference for veterans. We think that this is a very good project for the community. It's going to add added hotel space, which is desperately needed, affordable housing, and it's well thought out and well planned, and there is no subsidy on this project. So this developer is doing it by right, and he had the forethought and foresight to work with the building trades to create a local hire program that's going to put many thousands of people to work on this project. So we stand in support. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Nyla Arslanian, 6671 Sunset Boulevard, Crossroads of the World. I'm editor of Discover Hollywood magazine and president emeritus of the Hollywood Arts Council. I've been involved in promoting Hollywood for four decades. I participated with the CRA Project Area Committee, contributed to focus groups to get citizens' input through the years for Hollywood's future. I'm known as one of Hollywood's most fervent advocates. The time has come to illuminate, respect, and enhance this world-famous treasure called Hollywood. And I'm not talking preservation of old buildings. I mean the opportunity to make a lasting impact in the preservation and enhancement of one of the world's most iconic places, a place rivaling Paris, Athens, and even Rome for its impact on the world and its culture. This is Hollywood, and it deserves no less. The EIR process does not consider world treasures. This project is more like a 60s scorched earth project than one that respects Hollywood's beauty, tradition of innovation, and creativity. For years, even as Hollywood declined, we've had a goose whose golden egg sustained us. Everyone wants to come to Hollywood to live, to work, or to visit. If this project is approved, it's out of scale, and I fear the goose's days are numbered. It's up to all of us to help to preserve and enhance the authenticity, the beauty, the natural beauty of this place. We have a treasure in our hands and must not allow it to slip through our fingers with a project such as this on the scale of this project. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, okay, before you begin, you know, there's a lot of people here that need to speak, and I just want to make sure that we run through this hearing efficiently. If someone begins to talk and there's clapping, it impairs their ability to get their testimony in. So if we can withhold the applause, I'd appreciate it. Go ahead and state your name, please.
Good morning. I'm Gilbert Smith, and I'm the owner and operator of the Montalban Theater in Hollywood on 1615 Vine Street. And I am here in support of the project Crossroads of the World. I drive past the Hollywood Reporter building every day, and I have mused for dozens of years as to what is going to happen there. It is one of the most restrictive areas of the, let's say, the center of the Hollywood project to bring the entertainment community back. As an example, I've had development around the theater in the last 6 years, and we grew our theater. We are employing over 75 people at our theater now. When I came on board, there were two people. We have WeWork next door. It is a new development. It was told to be out of scale. The design, the increased ability for the public and for the residents to work and live in Hollywood is enhanced by this project, and I think it's going to be a boom for everybody, just like it has been in Central Hollywood with other projects that I have been part of. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Stephen Whitten, and my address is 7676 Hollywood Boulevard, 90046. I live and work in Hollywood, and I'm the former chair of the Hollywood Studio District Neighborhood Council. It's not too late to save Los Angeles from urban sprawl, a concept centered on the expansion of auto-oriented, low-density development. It's time to reinvest and reinvigorate existing neighborhoods, and Hollywood is the perfect place. Transit-oriented developments, also known as building housing near transit, is the way to transform the current situation. It's the reason why millions of taxpayer dollars were spent on our subway system. The Crossroads Hollywood Project provides a less oriented, automobile-dependent lifestyle because it creates the opportunity to live, work, and play without a car. I encourage you to support this project. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Gilbert Mora. I am the Prevention Coordinator for Behavioral Health Services in Hollywood on Sunset, 6838 Sunset Boulevard. I am what they call a public health advocate. I noticed that the project, when they were presenting it, they really skipped over the big part of it. They're going to add 22 alcohol licenses in such a small area that's already oversaturated with alcohol. It already has the highest crime rate associated with alcohol in that area. And they're talking about, you know, putting a substation there in an already overextended Hollywood LAPD division. You know, they're basically moving Hollywood Boulevard further south, and it's going to give Hollywood PD a harder time of, you know, encapsulating the area of Hollywood Boulevard that is the true entertainment district. And to have 22 alcohol licenses in such a small area, you're basically tripling what is already there. And they're right in the middle of three schools. So I don't understand the reason for so many alcohol licenses right next to a Catholic school, right next to a high school, and right next to a elementary school. If you're going to be allowing such places, you need to put real restrictions on them so that they're not operating in a way that will, you know, negatively affect those schools and anything around those schools. You're basically building a Vegas-style hotel directly across the street from a high school. That high school has a lot of events that happen at night, so there's going to be a commingling of the people from partying at the hotel and kids leaving school events. So not a great idea to intermingle those two groups. You're asking for a lot of, you know, how are we going to say, nuisance activity that's related to alcohol. The crime is actually going up in Hollywood right now as far as nuisance activity that is related to alcohol. So to add 22 more alcohol licenses without any kind of real restrictions on them is going to just add more fuel to the fire. And don't forget, we just legalized marijuana. There's going to be a lot of marijuana dispensaries in the area too. So you're adding more nuisance activity to an already nuisance activity riddled area.
I just have a question. You're saying there's already marijuana dispensaries near the school?
Near the area.
But not adjacent to the school?
Oh, they can't be adjacent. They have to be within, the closest they can be is 600 feet. And that's not very far.
Right. Okay, so I just wanted to clarify that.
Let's put it this way. They can open a dispensary in that little complex if they wanted to, because it's 600 feet away.
Okay, we'll check that.
Okay.
Please hold your applause.
Hi, my name is David Carrera, 6530 Leland Way, 90028. So I'm a couple blocks away from the project. One of my major concerns was also the amount of alcohol coming and licenses. So for planning, I'd like to, when we, you know, conditions are extremely important. I think there's also a couple nightclubs proposed, which for a while nightclubs had helped bring Hollywood up, but now they're dragging Hollywood down. So we don't need any more. In the past, we've had representatives say no more new nightclubs in Hollywood. And there's also been a problem with Type 47s turning into 48s, which are nightclubs. And there's only a certain amount of conditions that prevent that. One is public dancing, live entertainment, hours. So there's also a push to extend alcohol in Los Angeles till 4 a.m. Some nights I just wait until 2 a.m., laying in bed, waiting for the noise to die down. So we don't need any more noise. We don't need any more nightclubs. That is also a concern with this project, with any rooftops and rooftops that are bars. I think the hotel has one. So LAPD, Hollywood Vice, has conditions for that. We need them incorporated. My other concern was the Las Palmas, so I want to thank them for what they've done. I was concerned about the realignment, so that's a plus. I also think that there's not enough affordable housing units out of 900. I mean, it's barely 10%, so you need more affordable housing. I think for the people who are being displaced, there needs to be a right to return. And it's great that they're helping the church and fixing up the church. What other community benefits are we going to see? And it was interesting that the bid spoke, because is this project going to join a bid? And for me, often for quality of life issues, bid security is way more prompt and responsible than overburdened LAPD. I would love for a community benefit to be that, say, the neighborhood that I live in, which is a block south of Sunset, be allowed to access that security and this project pay for it, and somehow that be conditioned into the project. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Commission. My name is Roberto Mazariegos. I live Sunset Kingsley, 1419 North Kingsley Drive. I lived in Hollywood for the last 14 years. My rent is almost near $2,300 right now. So I hear a lot of projects coming into Hollywood. I've been sort of involved within my work, the hotel that I work in, not in Hollywood. But I don't see a lot of things coming to the table as far as like reassuring community benefits, which is what my last gentleman talked about. And my concern is that as a resident, I see a lot of things changing in Hollywood, which is great, but now a lot of things are changing for the better of the people that live there. I am gonna email these pictures to Mitchell Farrell. I mean, just in my block around the corner, there's already like four buildings that basically people got, I'm sure they moved because rent got too high and now they're part of Airbnb. That's a problem. And then you have, you know, developers coming in and looking at the Hollywood sign and looking at the business as an opportunity to make it grow. But not a lot of community benefits are being put in paper that it's going to be community benefits. We could talk about transportation, we could talk about cleanliness, we can talk about all these things, but jobs, that's the number one thing. I can give anybody a tour in Hollywood, and I can take you to a lot of houses where family has opened the door to me, and a lot of those houses, Hollywood residents, don't work in Hollywood and have three jobs. And you ask them why. And the first thing they say is like, well, there's really not a lot of good jobs in Hollywood, and that really shocks me. And then the second thing say, well, most of those jobs don't pay well, and I just don't know what to do, so I go somewhere else. So we're talking about these hotels, right? My hotel is a Union Hotel, and it's in Studio City, and I get paid over $18 an hour with benefits. It gives me the chance to be with my family at some sort of time, and these families that we talk to, they have three jobs. They don't do that. And that equals to a lot of kids not having parents, you know. I would say supervision or any sense of guidance, and then you look at the homeless percentage in Hollywood. You could drive down now between Hollywood Boulevard, Vermont, and Hillcrest, and one side you see the vintage stores, really nice, and then right across the street by what the Goodwill store is, you see tons of tents. And then you just keep going up to Gower, Bronson, it's just getting worse. So my question and my ask to developers, what are we doing about that too? What are we doing about jobs coming in and staying in Hollywood for the families in Hollywood? What are we doing about the schools there? What are we doing to make sure, right, that our parents, I'm a parent, and my kids, right, will have time with me so I continue, you know, being there for them. And that's something that we lack in Hollywood. So I'm here to say that, right, as a contiguous in Hollywood. I mean, you hear all these other big interests, and I mean, I'm all for that if it's going to bring a lot of good things for the residents there, and we're not looking into that. So all I'm saying is if developers want to come into Hollywood because that's where the money is at and that's where the entertainment is at, that's fine, but don't displace us. Don't displace us because there's a lot of things going on around developing, Airbnb, not having a good, well-paid job, not having benefits, not having time with your kids. All of that equals to all the stuff that we're talking about, homeless, drugs, alcohol, and then you're bringing that more into it, right? It doesn't make sense. So as a father of three, as a resident of Hollywood, I urge you guys to look into this a little more as far as what we're doing in the future, for the future, and not what we're doing now to make it happen and get our money in our pockets. That's all I'm asking for. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, the next row of public commenters, please. Again, please hold your applause for those that are coming up. Please remember to state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Alicia Bell. I live at 1221 North Sycamore, 90038. I am the Associate Director of Development and Marketing at Blessed Sacrament School, and we are pleased to support the Crossroads Hollywood Project. I'm also a homeowner in Hollywood and a parent of three students at our school. This project is designed to preserve, complement, and highlight Crossroads of the World and Blessed Sacrament by creating extensive and inviting open spaces that will greatly enhance the pedestrian experience for the Blessed Sacrament community. The project will define a safe place for our campus and for Hollywood. As a parish community, we are concerned about all residents, including the very low-income families. This project will provide over 100 very low-income housing units that we hope will remain during the lifetime of these families. It will help transform Hollywood back to its glorious days when it was a safe haven for families and businesses, giving all of our residents a better quality of life. We strongly believe that this development deserves your support. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Douglas Karstens. I'm with Chatton Brown and Karstens. Our address is 2200 Pacific Coast Highway. I'm here on behalf of Livable LA. We submitted a letter on the draft EIR and a letter yesterday. Livable LA is a group of residents who are seeking a positive future through good land use planning, the provision of affordable housing, community empowerment, transparent government, and environmental stewardship. We oppose this project as it is proposed and as the EIR is prepared at the moment. The project is too large for the area. It has too many unmitigated significant impacts that are mitigatable. The only problem is the impacts have not been avoided as is feasible. The California Environmental Quality Act, which is a Bill of Rights for an environmental democracy, requires mitigation of significant impacts. It has a substantive mandate that requires adoption of all feasible mitigation measures, and if there is a feasible alternative that is less environmentally damaging, the project cannot be approved as proposed. In this case, with regard to historic and cultural impacts, alternative 5 is a feasible alternative which would mitigate the significant impacts on historic resources. 4 out of the 5 historic buildings will be demolished, even though the one is saved under this modified project, and that is avoidable. There's a feasibility analysis in the final EIR that purports to show the economic infeasibility of the alternative 5, but that's based on false premises of costs that are too high and return that is too low for the preservation alternative. Other impacts that must be mitigated include traffic. Caltrans has submitted a letter proposing mitigation measures that have not been adopted. These are feasible mitigation measures from a sister agency with a great deal of authority and expertise in traffic impacts that is improperly being dismissed.
Also, with regard to greenhouse gas impacts and air quality, the Air Quality Management District, in its comment letter, proposed mitigation measures that are not being adopted. Therefore, avoidable impacts are not being avoided as feasible. We've also heard about affordable housing. While the provision of 105 units when 84 existing RSO units are being removed is really only netting out a gain of 21 affordable units. In the context of a project this large, that's a rather paltry number. We have heard that displacement can be avoided. There should be a right of return. There's a lot more that could be done to help with the affordable housing impacts. With regard to the LA Unified School District, the LAUSD letter identified significant impacts to LAUSD schools. These include to noise, traffic, air quality, and pedestrian safety. It proposed various mitigation measures, but not all of them are adopted. This requires recirculation of the EIR because when significant impacts are identified in a final environmental impact report, that has to be recirculated to the public for information review and analysis. Also requiring recirculation is the Bureau of Engineering Conditions and this controversy we heard earlier today. It's unclear to me, and therefore to the public and a large number of people, if the mitigation measures have significant impacts of their own and have actually been mitigated below a level of significance. Maybe they have. But because those are only coming up in the context of an FEIR, the final EIR, that has to be recirculated to the public and to public agencies like Caltrans so that they can analyze the impacts and whether they're mitigated as well. In conclusion, we ask that you improve the analysis to legally adequate standards in the EIR, recirculate the EIR, reduce the project by way of avoiding avoidable impacts, and protect the community. Appreciate the time and would be available for
questions.
Actually,
I have a question. You said two different things in your testimony. The first was that CEQA requires that all potentially significant and unavoidable impacts be mitigated. Is that right?
Yes, it's under
public. But then you also said that all feasible mitigation should be considered. So which of those two do you rely on?
I rely on Public Resources Code Section 21081, which requires the adoption of all feasible mitigation measures when there are significant avoidable
impacts.
But
that's different than saying all significant and unavoidable impacts must be mitigated. You said both.
If there are significant impacts that are avoidable by feasible mitigation measures, the feasible measures must be adopted.
Okay, that's what I wanted to clarify. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Aaron Challa. I'm the Associate CFO of AIDS Healthcare Foundation. The address is 6255 West Sunset Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 90028. A letter's been submitted on behalf of my testimony today. So
can you speak a little louder so that everyone can hear?
I apologize. A letter has been submitted to the committee on behalf of my testimony today. So I wanted to raise my support of the historic preservation alternative, or rather that it be reworked because of serious deficiencies in an economic feasibility analysis, similar to what the gentleman before me said. If you open up the letter that I attached, it provides some financial backup that actually calls out the deficiencies in the analysis. Two of them are related around the cost basis, two of them are related around the revenue basis, and one of them calls out the fact that debt financing was not considered in the analysis, which eliminates the use of a debt shield as well as equity leverage. So the very first thing is the comps used in the financial evaluation of the land itself were dated. Some of them were in excess of 4 years old. I'd ask the committee to consider whether or not you'd buy a house with comps that were more than 2 years old. So I believe that that warrants reinvestigation. Certain comps were pulled from CoStar yesterday with more recent results that are relevant, and they show that the cost basis should be more like $10 million per acre instead of $15 million. That would basically mean that it's one-third of the total cost of the land itself. You have the backup there, fully available. The second item that I want to raise is the general allowance and soft cost allowances. There's 40% padding on the construction costs for this initiative. Without proper citation explaining why there's 40% padding on the initiative, if a project or initiative is submitted to you and they say it's 40% more than what we know is the costs, it's something that should be reviewed because it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. It warrants a second set of eyes. Within the revenue perspective of this analysis, there are two items of issue.
The very first one is that there's the assumption that there will only be 474,000 square feet available for the historic preservation scenario, as opposed to 1.4 million square feet for the original project. So basically, the assumption is that only one-third of the usable space is available for a historic preservation scenario. So anything where you say that you get triple the space for a build-out, eliminating the historic preservation scenario, raises questions. I believe that the diagrams submitted in the evaluation should be re-examined, and that there should be new diagrams submitted that actually accurately depict what the full options are for a historic preservation scenario, because this significantly artificially depresses the revenue that's available within the historic preservation option. As an additional item for revenue, there's also the concern that the comps that are cited for the revenue per square foot of retail and other items are different between the original project and the historic preservation alternative. There was backup cited, but unfortunately it isn't clear why all the numbers or the majority of the numbers would be decreased on a square footage basis for the historic preservation option. So basically they're saying not only are we going down to one-third of the available space that can generate revenue, but we're also decreasing the amount per foot across nearly every category line that you could generate in revenue, which makes no sense because it isn't cited or explained in any meaningful way. I would call that a deficiency in analysis. The very last point has to do with debt financing. You'll see on the last page of my submittal that even the HR&A memorandum calls out and trying to explain the soft costs that it presumably real estate taxes and financing costs are included, yet we see no debt shield. We see only an equity-based financing analysis on this. When you have a debt shield, you get a tax write-off. When you have a debt shield, there's a different form of capital structure, and you have a higher return on equity due to leverage. The fact that this wasn't considered in any way in this model means it's deficient. I propose that it be reevaluated from the ground up with fresh comps valuing the price of the land, with metrics that are fully defined and understood, with padding that makes sense and is quantified in a meaningful way, and basically with a capital structure that makes sense, because I don't understand why a large construction project would be purely equity financed. If you do, I'm open to that. Thank you for your time.
My name is Mickey Jackson. I work with AHF. I work with Healthy Housing Foundation. I agree that this is financial analysis is inadequate. A key thing is lacking, and that is that this is not a land purchase. It is a 100-year lease. That is not disclosed clearly, nor do we know the terms of this lease. We don't know if it's going to be a payment up front, if it's going to be monthly, if it's not going to kick in for 5 years, if it's going to be a balloon at the end. We don't know anything about it. And it is absolutely the basic cornerstone of the analysis. It's been left out. The building would fall over if that was left out of a building. And this calls into question the validity of the entire analysis because it was neither disclosed nor evaluated. And as we know, industry practice is to disclose and evaluate these things. And I believe we need independent review of this matter. There's just too many questions. One last part goes to the transportation area issue. All parcels in this area are subject to the condition of the approved transportation plan, an excellent plan, by the way, which was developed by the CRA. This condition is still in effect, but it has not been approved by the CRA board. This is a big thing to just ignore. The CRA is no longer here, is a favorite myth, but the fact is the CRA is here. It is here in the successor agency, and it has all of its parts operating, and many of the conditions of the CRA are still intact. For this reason, I agree that this is a very inadequate EIR in these ways, and that I believe it has to be recirculated. Thank you.
Thank you. Hello, my name is Jill Stewart 4205 Torreon Drive, Woodland Hills. I'm executive director of the Coalition to Preserve LA. We fight for what we call people-oriented planning and a very transparent city government, which we don't currently have. And one of our big issues is equitable housing as well as environmental stewardship for the people who live around projects. We would like you to please recirculate this plan for the disempowered people who live in Hollywood. Even though there's been a lot of building in Hollywood, Hollywood is still a working class, largely poor community, and people don't know that this environmental impact report has huge holes, which you heard about from Doug Carstens a few moments ago. And we think that you need to bring it back out to the community, recirculate it, and answer these big unanswered questions. A couple of other unanswered questions I'd like to add that I haven't brought up today are, the EIR is not sufficient and does not directly address, and I know you've heard of this, but the Children's Health Study in Los Angeles by USC and UCLA, which is a seminal study of what happens to children who live around not just freeways, but boulevards that are like freeways. And boulevards that are like freeways are, for example, Highland Boulevard, which has become almost a freeway, which is why you're getting so many complaints from Caltrans, because of the massive backups and the feeding onto the freeway there that Caltrans says is no longer sustainable. You're very, very weak and silent on that part of the environmental impact report. Caltrans was not taken seriously, and AQMD was not taken seriously. But to tell you a little bit about what it means to live around that kind of traffic, and by the way, I work on Sunset Boulevard, not too far from this proposal, and I was the news editor of LA Weekly for many years and worked inside the building that is being proposed for preservation. I know the area very, very well. What is happening now is that the traffic is so extreme, and you're proposing a skyscraper on what's called a short block. Hollywood is filled with short blocks. They're not normally sized city blocks, and they weren't intended for skyscrapers. They can't handle the infrastructure. They can't handle the traffic. And the idea that somehow Metro is going to come in and save this project, if you've been following the LA Times and other media, Metro is losing 65,000 riders a year. The program of TOCs is failing. The people who move into TOCs have a lot of money, and they do not use the transit. So what you're going to create is massive traffic. Right now, 2 days a week, it takes about 20 minutes to drive from Sunset Boulevard to Franklin. The danger involved in trying to get out of Hollywood if there's a fire or earthquake is going to be exacerbated by all the skyscrapers if they are added, including this one. Short blocks cannot absorb skyscrapers. If you ask an independent planner, not with the city of LA, or, frankly, the former county planner of the Los Angeles County, they will tell you that skyscrapers do not belong in short block areas. So on a number of levels, safety issue, the air quality issue, the children's lifelong lung damage issue that you will read in the children's health study by UCLA and USC, I urge you to recirculate the EIR so that the disempowered can have a say in what's about to happen with a project that is far too big and far too polluting for the area. Thank you. Thank you.
Hello, thank you for allowing the public to comment. My name is Margot Gerber, 6712 Hollywood Boulevard. I'm here representing the historic cultural monument, the Egyptian Theater, which for those of you who don't know was actually Hollywood's very first home of the very first Hollywood movie premiere in 1922. I've worked in Hollywood for 26 years, 20 of those at the theater itself. I drive this area every day at all hours of the day and night, so I know it intimately. I live 3 miles south of Hollywood. It used to take me 8 minutes to get there. It now takes 30. The traffic is at an all-time high. I was actually hit on Highland a couple weeks ago by a construction vehicle, a Peterbilt truck that said they didn't even see me in my small Honda. The area has become increasingly unsafe. We have been in this area of Hollywood Boulevard, the Egyptian Theater, for almost 100 years now. And despite the age of the building, it's a fully functional, state-of-the-art movie theater, and it's in the heart of Hollywood. And it is a successful adaptive reuse project. I would like to see more adaptive reuse go on in Hollywood. There are some amazing buildings that do not have tenants in them, and the city needs to look into why these landlords just leave them empty. We cannot move our business to another area. It is site-specific, even as Hollywood development is squeezing us out. Our landmark draws people from all over the globe, and it gives them an authentic experience in Hollywood when not much else does. Our revenue, unlike most of our neighbors, does not come from liquor sales. In fact, we do not even have a liquor license. And this is a huge problem in Hollywood, that Hollywood, the area, felt that the only way to get revenue was from liquor licenses. There was a stabbing at 10 a.m. yesterday morning on the corner near where we live. We don't need more crime in Hollywood. And since writing our comments on the draft EIR last summer, it's become even more difficult to enter the area. And I'm going to leave behind some comments from a survey we did last summer of our patrons about the experience of coming to Hollywood. I often wait through three traffic lights on Las Palmas just to turn left into my parking lot. I'm not even trying to get through the intersection because there's a huge line of cars that are trying to avoid Highland in front of me. And I can't even get into the parking lot for about 10 minutes. It's ridiculous. Hollywood is an undeniably special place, but sadly its potential as a neighborhood has been wildly underestimated by the city and by developers. This developer is in a position to create something akin to the Marriage of the Grove and the historic Farmers Market or the Brentwood Country Mart, but instead they're hell-bent on adding to the crime quotient with all their liquor licenses and disrupting the authentic community in the neighborhood. What will go away if this development proceeds as planned? An art gallery, a high-end coffee house, a three-building affordable garden apartment complex with quiet tenants, a chiropractor, an acting school, sound recording studios, a special effects company, two music companies, a holistic doctor, street parking, reasonable access to our business and to the many other heritage businesses on Hollywood Boulevard, which include restaurants that have been there since 1919, such as Musso's and Frank's, Pig and Whistle, Michelli's. What will go up in its place? A Las Vegas-style hotel, unaffordable housing, and corporate-run restaurants. This does not create a neighborhood. The EIR seems to focus on what they can get away with by law, not what makes sense for the community. And apparently the law doesn't require you to put in a public parking structure, and I know the city's trying to move us away from cars. The comments I have here will talk about the realities of using public transportation versus our glorification of it as the way the city will be saved. The surrounding businesses, our neighbors will probably tell you that not having easy parking is a number one customer complaint. The harder the access is, the more people will stop coming to Hollywood. A giant hotel and thousands of people coming in and out is going to impact Highland despite what the EIR says. This will impact the Hollywood Bowl, the John Anson Ford, the American Legion, Post 43. You can't drop an elephant into a rabbit hutch and not cause a major disturbance of the ecosystem. I work at the Egyptian Theater, and I cannot afford to live in any of the new construction that's around there. So I think it's ridiculous that people are going to live and work in the same place. So this project is not what Hollywood needs. This is not a skyscraper zone. It's a small, as Jill said, small city blocks, and it needs to be treated sensitively. I'm also the president of the Art Deco Society. I sit on Hollywood Heritage Preservation Committee, and I can say that the fact that they want to tear down eight historic resources is a shame. They could be adaptively reused creatively, and there could be something like downtown where people want to come and experience the wow factor of coming into an amazing old building such as this and drinking or eating dinner in a civilized way. We don't need any more nightclubs. The success of Old Town Pasadena, for example, started with parking lots, public parking lots that were low cost. And what is happening now is actually chasing people away, as you'll see from the comments I'm going to give you. And as one person said in a letter that was issued in July, the thick of the when he comes out of a double feature at the Egyptian, he lands in the thick of a circus of unpredictable drug and alcohol-fueled potential danger. And these are the crowds that are coming to Hollywood now, and these are the only type of person who will welcome a 32-story Las Vegas-style hotel to Sunset and Highland. So I encourage you to read our full parking and traffic and safety survey that we conducted last summer, and to read the American Cinematheque letter that was written and submitted in July to the draft DIR. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Celeste Hong, 4758 Cromwell Avenue, Los Angeles, 90027. I'm speaking on behalf of the Art Deco Society of Los Angeles. I am vice president of the Art Deco Society of Los Angeles. I'm only going to speak to the preservation aspects, since the other aspects have already been addressed very ably by other speakers. ADSLA opposes the planned project, as we still do not believe that the 8 historic resources should be demolished. This area has a large number of intact historic buildings that were identified on Survey LA. These buildings that range roughly from 1907 to 1939 help tell the story of Hollywood as a neighborhood and are unique examples of early Hollywood architecture in their original setting in situ. We have been working in this area to designate a historic building since 2016, when we nominated the Red Wine Building, and on November 7th of 2017, we were awarded landmark status on the for the Hollywood Reporter Building that is now a part of this project. ADSLA is currently engaged in supporting a landmark nomination for the 1939 Las Palmas Selma Hollywood Regency-style apartment complex, which we believe to be a wonderful example of humane housing with an outdoor component from the Depression era. We have been inside them and found the units we saw incredibly intact. The historic landmark Streamline Modern Crossroads of the World complex is of supreme interest to our organization for its design. We oppose the plan to move the early American building from its current site. We're concerned about the physical safety of the building, that when it is moved, it will cause further damage. We feel that mitigation measures proposed is insufficient. We're also concerned about physical damage to the Art Deco Red Wine Building at 1618 North Las Palmas from digging the proposed subterranean parking lot for the development. And it seems contradictory, you're building parking when you're trying to tell people to take mass transit. This building is a historic cultural monument. The Art Deco Society nominated it in 2016. The cumulative effect of losing all of these buildings in this area is extremely negative to Hollywood and to its history. Once this history is obliterated, we cannot get it back. And I know that MGM and other Universal Studios have rebuilt Disney, most notably rebuilt historic LA, but why rebuild it when you can have the original structures in situ? Creative adaptive reuse would be a great alternative for these structures. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Kathy Boyette, and I reside at 2930 Francis Avenue in La Crescenta, California, 91214. I'm the vice principal at Blessed Sacrament School, and I'm speaking on behalf of Danina Flores Oy, who is our school principal. Blessed Sacrament fully supports the Crossroads Hollywood Project, and I ask for your support. We have a commitment to our parish and our school community, and we understand that our low-income families will benefit from the housing being developed by the Crossroads Hollywood Project. Heritage Development Group is a partner of the Archdiocese and our campus. They are working with us to provide our students with quality education and a safe and positive environment in which to learn. Blessed Sacrament School is grateful for this partnership and possibly our upcoming neighbor. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, the last row, I believe, or second to last row of those people who wanting to speak, will you please line up, state your name and address for the record?
Hi, my name is Casey Madron. I live at 2141 Cahuenga Boulevard, apartment 17. I'd like to talk about the deficiencies in the EIR, especially relating to alcohol establishments and entertainment. The EIR is not only deficient, it's dishonest. In the first place, the project description doesn't even mention 22 liquor permits for the project, or nor does it mention the master COP for eight live establishments featuring live entertainment. The EIR, the section of the EIR devoted to public services, does not come anywhere near analyzing the impacts from this on the LAPD and emergency services. For some reason, the EIR only talks about the fact that crime was down between 2002 and 2004. Just for everybody's information, crime in Hollywood has been going up 4 years. In 2014, Chief Beck wrote a letter to the Department of City Planning talking about the impacts of ABC locations in Hollywood and about the increases in rape, assault, shootings, and collisions involving pedestrians. The impacts from 22 locations serving alcohol and 8 locations with live entertainment would be a tremendous burden on the LAPD, on the Hollywood division, which is already understaffed. I'd also like to talk about how the locations offering live entertainment, the EIR lists many locations which would be offering entertainment in open spaces, amplified sound in open spaces, and the one mitigation measure proposed is a 12-foot wall on the east side of the campus, completely inadequate. It would not come anywhere near mitigating the noise impacts on the community. And so once again, the EIR is not just inadequate, it's dishonest. And I would also like to mention that the revised project was not submitted to the Central Hollywood Neighborhood Council for consideration. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hello. Hello, I'm Alex Franco. I live in 9152 Lamona Avenue, North Hills, California, 91343. I've been a resident for Hollywood since 93. Not much can be said at this point based on what been said before. One of the things that I would like to mention is that one of the projects, the proposed locations is the Selma Tower, which stands between High School, Hollywood High School, and Musicians Choice Studio. I would like to speak on behalf of Musicians Choice Studios, as no mention of that has been mentioned. So I agree with all the previous comments that have been said regarding the identification of Hollywood. Hollywood, as long as I've known, has been a working class oriented place, and it needs to stay that way. One of the reasons being is that regardless of where you live in LA, you don't work within, there's a good chance that you don't work within that city. One of the things that the developers neglect to mention is the integrity of the neighborhood. They claim that it's a beautification. It's not. It's ruination and uglification of the neighborhood. They mention the benefits, but they mention that it serves the greater good, but it does not serve the greater good when it only benefits the wealthy and the privileged. The working class have no chance to improve, to benefit from this project whatsoever. Also, I would like to take this time to mention that this is my very first time doing anything politically oriented, because this is the first time I've ever been personally affected by the developer's plan. In closing, I just want to say that please maintain the neighborhood for what it is. I also agree with the previous comment that's been said about the uniqueness of Hollywood. Hollywood is in a very unique position where no additional changes need to be made, because we have the film industry, and that alone is worthy of its self. It's in a unique position where no improvements other than the living conditions and the homelessness need the most care. This does not benefit the community, and as a struggling musician, one of many in LA, this serves to worsen our lives any more than it already is. I say this as someone who, I live in North Hills, but I'm a graduate student in Dominguez Hills, and I work in Long Beach, California. So I'm all over LA, and I'm stuck in traffic like everyone. I have to wake up 3 hours early every day just to arrive on time, and still I barely make it on time. This is the result of these developers, and further development will only exacerbate the problem. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Judith Riesel, and I live at 1509 Wilcox Avenue, which is about four blocks down the street, down Sunset from the project. So I'm personally very impacted by it. I'm here in part to support the American Cinematheque. I share their concern about increased traffic congestion, making it difficult for people to get to the Egyptian Theater, which is like this building, a beautifully renovated historic building. And it screens wonderful movies. I live in Hollywood because I love film, I love art, I love movies. I'm a writer by profession. I think of Hollywood as a community of artists. I don't see anything in this project that is supportive of us as a community of artists. And I have a concern. One of the partner of Skidmore, Owings, and Merrill is, I guess, Rios, Clemente, and Hale. And I went on their website, and they wrote this very lovely description of what their work is. We endeavor to design a space that tells the story of its people, culture, and history. Well, Hollywood has an incredible history, incredible people, and the culture of film has transformed the entire world. There's nothing in this project that says this is the birthplace of the preeminent art form of our time. There isn't, you know, anything that says specific to Hollywood. The website also says, with globalization spreading across the planet, the unique qualities that once existed within such individual places are gradually disappearing. To me, this project appears generic, putting up three large glass towers, and I'm not seeing it integrated into Hollywood. I'm not seeing it celebrating Hollywood. I'm not seeing it really respecting what the history of this great center of the arts is. The entertainment side I see, but the fact that you know, the Egyptian screens beautiful, creative art. Also, Hollywood stands for very innovative, very unique culture. And once again, this project doesn't seem to me to really be about Hollywood. And we have a legacy here that we can really capitalize on. So I hope that they'll work more with Rios, Clemente, and Hale, and that they will implement that philosophy. I'm just not seeing it. And I am not certain about the feasibility of the large towers. Like I say, it looks like rather generic architecture. But thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Susan Hunter. I'm with the Coalition to Preserve Los Angeles, Livable LA, as well as the Los Angeles Tenants Union, because if you're going to live in Hollywood, you have to be a part of three different groups in order to try and save your home, because that's the reality of being in Hollywood right now. Firstly, I just want to say, and also, I live on Castile, and I'm not sure why we're actually having this hearing today, because it's a bit premature for to now just find out that the potential footprint of the project could be expanded to Castile was not a part of the draft EIR. So I'm not exactly sure why we're here today, because we have not had public comment opportunities to discuss the expansion of the potential footprint. And that's something that the community should be able to have a conversation about. So I'm hoping that you will do your due diligence, because the real meat of this and the real issue is this developer has no idea what they're doing. They want a big project, they want to cram it in this area, but they refuse to continue to solidify the details. And that's been an ongoing problem. This is the third major change that I've seen with this project. And this major change happened between draft EIR and proposed final EIR. That's not fair to our community, and that's not fair to me as a resident who's living on a street that is now a potential abutting occupant to the proposed project site. Other issues being the 84 RSO units that would be demolished. RSO, being the rent stabilized ordinance, does not fall under the affordable housing category. So the units that would be lost does not mean that those people would be able to move into affordable housing. They're now homeless. They're now displaced. So 84 other people who are being promised housing will take their place, which means that we have a zero net loss. We have zero working out as far as creating 84 more homeless as opposed to, in comparison to housing 84 more people. What you would have to do is provide right of return for 84 units at the RSO levels that they are paying now, on top of the 84 affordable units that are being proposed in order to try and get a density bonus. This project is out of scope with the neighborhood currently. The tallest building is two times the CNN building that is currently existing in Hollywood. And the reason why we are so low density is because we sit on soil that is likely to be hit by liquefaction in case of an earthquake. And if you want to hear the legalese on that, the EIR's treatment of land use consistency is inadequate because of its failure to address the general plan safety elements identification to the susceptibility to liquefaction, other than by saying it is outdated. The FEIR reveals a potentially significant impact that requires recirculation of the EIR so the public and public agencies may evaluate why the FEIR asserts the city's general plan safety element is incorrect. Construction in an area subject to liquefaction exacerbates those risks. The bottom line being, they cannot anchor this thing to bedrock. The bedrock is too far down. So we're going to put a 401-foot structure on an area that's going to turn into quicksand during major seismic activity, which we know is going to happen. And it is no longer okay to say, well, then that means that our residents and our building and our community can just be collapsed upon by an oversized building that can't be safely anchored down. It's going to fall over. It's not designed to collapse internally. It will not telescope inward when a major catastrophic event happens. It will topple over. And we don't get to determine which way it's going to fall over. So we can't continue to sit here and say that human life is not worth planning out for, especially when we know that we are in an earthquake area, and especially when we know that we're putting a tall structure on an area that is prone to liquefaction that cannot be anchored to bedrock. And lastly, I adopt all previous comments opposing this project on this record. Thank you for your time, and I hope you will just say no today.
Thank you. Oh, boy. Heather Fox, 806 North Edinburgh Avenue. I'm a stakeholder in this neighborhood. My child attends the Canyon School Cooperative on Las Palmas. I'm a former Hollywood High School teacher and resident at Sunset and McCadden. The two biggest concerns I have today are regarding the large number of historic resources intended to be destroyed with no alternatives to demolition presented in the IR, and the close proximity of this project to three different schools and the health and safety issues for those sensitive receptors nearby. The objective of the Hollywood Community Plan is to encourage the protection and enhancement of the varied and distinctive residential character of the community. Additionally, the Hollywood Redevelopment Project goals include the retention and restoration and appropriate reuse of existing buildings, groupings of buildings, and other physical features, especially those that have significant historic and architectural value, and ensure the new development is sensitive to these features through land use and development criteria. The Crossroads Hollywood Project does the opposite of that. With the proposed destruction of five properties identified as historic resources, the Crossroads Hollywood Project not only violates CEQA as admitted and stated by them, as well as violates the Hollywood Community Plan on the Hollywood Redevelopment Project's goals. The project addresses the mitigation measures offered cannot be mitigated to less than significant levels. They have declined to evaluate any alternatives to demolition, of which there are many, such as adaptive reuse. And the distraction of the revitalizing of the original crossroads is irrelevant if they destroy the surrounding historic life that also includes small businesses that will not be able to return and 84 rent-stabilized units that are present in one of the six historic resources. My second concern is regarding the 308, is it still 308 unit hotel planned directly across from Hollywood High School, where visitors from around the world will be able to watch minor children during gym class. As a former Hollywood High School teacher of 10 years, this is a highly inappropriate location for a hotel and would create major safety hazards for high school children whose protection and right to privacy should be paramount. I'll stop there. Thank you.
My name is Wadley. I live at 7974 Melrose. Avenue. I oppose the project as submitted. I think it's sad that we lose our historical significant buildings. I think Hollywood has its character and charm and doesn't need to be Las Vegas. We don't need another Vegas, and Hollywood shouldn't be Vegas. These buildings are too tall for the area, and it displaces so many people that can't come to Hollywood to have their dream and to live and survive. A lot of these buildings, these new developments, are sitting empty, and no one's living in them. They're renting them out, or they're investment properties, and no one's inside giving back to the community or giving back to the area. You lose the character and charm because you drive down Hollywood Boulevard, there's so many, or Sunset Boulevard, there's so many for leases because they can't afford the new rents and the new rent increases. So you have empty businesses, and I don't know how this business thinks it can create this new development of all these restaurants and all these coffee shops, and all the businesses around it can't even survive as is because the rents are so high. So I hope you oppose this project as submitted, and I hope that they can figure out a way to lower the buildings. I'm not against development in itself. I'm against this big of a development and how way it ruins the area and the neighborhood. I hope that you support to save the historical significant buildings and the buildings around it to not be displaced. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. Nicole Shahanian with the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce, 6255 Sunset Boulevard. On behalf of the Hollywood Chamber, I'm here to express our strong support of the proposed Crossroads Hollywood project. We appreciate the developer's efforts to bring this iconic project to our community. The Hollywood Chamber is pleased to see the project moving towards a more street-oriented, incremental urban design strategy that is compatible with the existing urban fabric of Hollywood. As you know, Hollywood is undergoing an amazing renaissance. As Hollywood continues to grow at an unprecedented rate, the need for hotel rooms will also increase. For the past several years, the Chamber has been working to attract new hotels to Hollywood. Our board is very excited about the hotel that will be part of this project and the much-needed services it will provide for millions of tourists that stay in Hollywood annually. Additionally, the Chamber recognizes the extreme need for more housing stock throughout our community and supports the efforts of this developer to provide much-needed housing for those living and working in Hollywood. We are particularly pleased to see that 105 of the units in this project will be set aside for very low-income residents. The Chamber appreciates the developer's investment and continual commitment to making Hollywood a place for all to live, work, and play. We look forward to reviewing the evolving states of this project design and appreciate the Crossroad team's willingness to include the Hollywood community in future discussions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, how are you? My name is Richard Brancatisano. I reside at 8900 Evanview Drive, 90069. I'm a little nervous. This is the first time I've ever kind of spoken at one of these things. I'm here on behalf of Musicians Choice Studio that will be destroyed for this development. This development, you know, gives a really nice presentation. It's all very shiny, and they tell you what they're putting in, but they don't tell you what they're taking away. They didn't mention once what they're destroying for their development. And one of those things is an extremely good studio and rehearsal space that many musicians that you probably listen to on the way here on Spotify or on the radio rehearsed at, recorded at. Part of the reason why people come to Hollywood, part of the reason why people love Hollywood from all over the world is because of the film and TV industry and the music industry. It's probably the major place in the whole world that is so influential in that field. And we've got to look at, if you guys want to develop and you want to put $600 million into something, you should be putting it into something that is an investment in what Hollywood is famous for and what Hollywood's known for in the first place, which is its arts and its creative, its creativity. And we don't need more shops. We don't need more, extremely expensive living arrangements. If you want to develop Crossroads, fix that up, that's great. But we don't need high rises there. What we need to do is invest money in the culture and the art and what makes people want to come here in the first place. That's not just turning to another generic city that looks exactly the same as everywhere else. Hollywood's special, let's keep it special. Let's develop what it needs to develop. Thanks.
Wait, before you leave, you said you represent Museum Choice Studio?
Musicians Choice.
Sorry. Where is it located?
It's on the corner of Selma and Highland.
How big is your studio?
How big is it? As in my separate studio or the whole area?
The whole thing.
I'm not sure how many square feet it is, but how much? There's 12 studios in the building.
But you don't know the square footage?
I don't know the square footage, no.
Okay, just curious. Thank you.
But I'd easily be able to find out.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Good morning. My name is Blake Brown from Jacobs and Russell Saltz, Nassim and Delacour.
I'm sorry, I'm going to ask you to speak a little closer to the microphone or a little louder.
My name is Blake Brown. I'm from Jacobs and Russell Saltz, Nassim and Delacour. We represent Hollywood Media Center, which owns properties at 1534 and 1540 North McCadden Place, Hollywood 90028, essentially the heart of where this construction has taken place. As of today, we have not been contacted by the city. We have sent in a letter to the draft EIR. We got a response in the final EIR. However, that response was not satisfactory to our concerns. At our properties, we have a restaurant. We also have creative spaces and recording studios. These places are noise sensitive. We also at the restaurant have an outdoor patio, which is roughly 3,000 square feet of dining area. This is going to be affected by the dust and the particles in the air. We're essentially asking, like, what is going to be done about the mitigation or compensation with regards to these properties. Obviously, the recording studios are noise sensitive. In one of the responses to our letter, it was admitted that the noise will be significant, however, be temporary, but this temporary lasts for years, and therefore that kind of does not help us in the interim. We would, again, like to know how we would be mitigated or compensated. We would encourage you to contact us with regards to these issues. We also echo all the other oppositions to the project with regard to traffic, parking, and other issues. We just were granted a conditional use permit, and this requires us a certain amount of parking, or requires us to have a certain amount of parking. This is now an issue with these parking spaces being torn up and the metered parking on the street of McCadden. We urge you to oppose this development.
I have a question. Yes. If I understand correctly, your property is at Selma, McCadden, and then do you include the parcels along Cawthorn?
I'm unsure about it. I know it's essentially the two parcels on McCadden. They're right in the middle.
So you're between Sunset and Selma?
Yes, 1534 okay. And 1540.
Okay.
Just south of the initials.
So. And what was the conditional use that you were granted?
For the restaurant, for alcohol and...
So off-site, or on-site?
On-site.
On-site, and that required you to provide parking. You don't have parking that you can accommodate?
We don't have parking. We listed metered parking that was there and valet, which had other parking spaces available. So.
Okay, so if the conditional use would have required a covenant and agreement to provide that parking off-site,
mm-hmm.
And where's that off-site parking? Is it part of the project site?
I'm unsure at the moment. I couldn't tell you right now.
Okay, so I'm just curious. So
yeah.
for those in the audience, when you have off-site parking, it requires the applicant to provide or accommodate the off-site parking through covenant and agreement with the willing property owner to provide those parking spaces, provided they're not assigned to any other use. So I just want to confirm that, and I'll ask the applicant to come forward to clarify that the off-site parking that you're required to provide isn't part of the project site and subject to removal.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much.
Hello, my name is Brian Curran, speaking on behalf of the Hollywood Heritage Preservation Committee. My address is 501 South Plymouth Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 90020. These are the comments of the Preservation Committee. Last summer, Hollywood Heritage submitted a response to the Crossroads Project draft EIR. Since that time, the Crossroads development team has accommodated some of our objectives in modifying their project, including the preservation of the Hollywood Reporter Building and the retention and the configuration of Las Palmas Avenue. Still, Hollywood Heritage believes several of the concerns we articulated in our first response also pertain to this modified project. As one example, the development team continues to propose the demolition of a high number of historic structures, both residential and commercial. In doing so, they consistently understate the value of these structures. They also justify demolition using an economic feasibility study for which Hollywood Heritage has observed potential flaws. Furthermore, the development team claims that the demolition of the garden apartments is required for a visible paseo to the Crossroads Monument. This is patently untrue. Demolition is necessarily only if the paseo must take a direct diagonal path through the site. The approach unnecessarily erodes the integrity of the Crossroads Monument and even with mitigation measures. In addition to our own ongoing concerns, Hollywood Heritage notes that the majority of the responses to the draft EIR have been in opposition to the project. Particularly salient responses include those by the American Cinematheque and Livable LA. The response by American Cinematheque raises an especially valid issue through its survey methodology, namely, how does the city intend to protect the heritage tourism vital to Hollywood Boulevard if it approves resource-damaging projects like the Crossroads? Throughout the responses to the draft EIR comments, the Crossroads team has stated that comments will become part of the administrative record. Given this repeated assurance, Hollywood Heritage wants to make sure that all comments, including from this hearing, are part of the administrative record at every level and are fully considered by the city when evaluating the modified project. Hollywood Heritage would like to thank the development team for their transparency, as well as the La Caretz family for their stewardship of the historic buildings of the Crossroads of the World. Yet we believe there is additional room for improvement in the Crossroads project, given what we have outlined in this statement. We believe that the best project lies likely somewhere between alternatives 4 and 5 in the draft EIR. If the Crossroads project proposed saving existing historic structures and transferring the density to new development, we would be willing to discuss that. And additionally, if consideration was given to a preservation fund, Hollywood Heritage would like to work alongside the CRA and the council office on the development of an appropriate community benefits agreement. Finally, Hollywood Heritage has demonstrated a successful record of participating in mitigation measures, including with Columbia Square just down the street, and we are willing to be part of an ongoing mitigation and projects discussion. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. Andy Eisenlohr, also with Hollywood Heritage. So I'd like to take this time to raise a number of problematic assumptions within the economic feasibility study attached to the Crossroads FEIR that in combination result in the conclusion that alternative 5 results in an economic loss. Number one, the developer voluntarily decided to follow allowable heights and FAR under alternative 5. This does not make sense given the 0% margin assumed for those buildings. Their acquisition would only make sense if max density were transferred to the new construction. Number two, an assumption is made that the developer will pay full price for historic parcels that are unable to be developed. This does not make sense. At the stated prices for land in development parcel A, land costs should be much lower than $105 million. Number three, the fee simple model is invalid given Heritage has a land lease. It is not disclosed whether Heritage's land lease is being paid in full currently or over time. Any pro forma that does not account for this lease in detail is invalid. Number four, the feasibility study does not show or calculate the present value of the land use rent that peer reviewer HR and A claims has been negotiated and finalized. Number five, the rental rates for new residential rental units constructed in Alternative 5 are projected at 12% below other new currently leased Hollywood developments. The reason provided is spurious unless the developer plans to build an unattractive project. Number six, even without changing the cost of land, adjusting the rental rates for new residential units to be the same as other new development projects results in a significantly positive ROI. Additionally, adjusting the cost of land suggests the ROI is even higher and above the modified project. Finally, the modified project assumes success in entitlement actions that in turn assume success without requisite public benefits. So given these issues, we believe an arm's length reviewer is needed to propose a historic preservation alternative and analyze that alternative. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, and thank you very much for your time today. My name is Adam Feiner. I am a board member at Hollywood Heritage and the co-chairperson of the Preservation Committee. I just want to reiterate what my colleague said. We've appreciated the conversations that we've had with the developer, but we do believe there's a much longer way to go with this project. There's too many historic resources that will be damaged or destroyed. The concept of changing the orientation of the crossroads as it exists changes what the crossroads is. And the crossroads is an integral part of Hollywood's history. We appreciate you taking the time to listen to us. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hi, commissioners. I'm Officer Thompson of the Los Angeles Police Department, spelled T-H-O-M-P-S-O-N. I'm a vice investigator. I'm currently assigned to Hollywood Division, where I've been investigating vice conditions, providing regulatory oversight of alcoholic beverage retailers for the last 4 years. The address to Hollywood Division is 1358 North Wilcox Avenue, Los Angeles, California, 90028. I am familiar with this application, with the applicants. I've attended and participated in several extensive meetings regarding the parameters and all the details of the project. At this point, the police department does not have a definitive position in terms of opposition or lack thereof for this project. Much of the position will be derived from the applicant's willingness to include comprehensive security features and nuisance mitigation measures in order to, as close to as possible, eliminate the possibility of this project developing into a public nuisance or a undue strain on police and city resources. The applicant has expressed willingness at this point to include very comprehensive security features, and I have been encouraged during preliminary discussions of what will be included with this project and the benefits that it could possibly afford the Hollywood community. And unless you have any questions, I believe that's it for me.
I do actually have some questions. So one of the recurring issues that were raised today was with respect to the existing number of nuisances and noise complaints relative to the existing number of alcohol sales and live entertainment in Hollywood. The project did ask for master conditional use, which per our practice would require plan approval where the individual establishments would have to come back, provide detailed information relative to their floor plans, their operations, and things of that nature. How would you characterize the effectiveness of that process to give LAPD input as to the details of these individual operators? Would you say that that provides you an opportunity to further review and analyze these individual establishments?
It does. I believe that it's an effective process. I have personal experience in the process with the Easttown facility, for example, at 6200 Hollywood Boulevard. And other similar large mixed-use facilities. I believe that it is an effective procedure in allowing us to, increase intensity or decrease it piece by piece rather than accepting everything all at once.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hey, good morning. My name is Craig Bullock, and I'm with Councilmember Mitch O'Farrell's office. I wanted to convey this morning that the office believes this project contains many positive characteristics that will be beneficial to Hollywood. The rehabilitation and preservation of historic cultural monuments, including the Crossroads of the World site and the Hollywood Reporter Building, are just a few. The creation and the creation of construction and permanent jobs, the increased economic and tourist activity, and the additional revenue that will provide for much-needed city services in Hollywood and the rest of the city of Los Angeles, the inclusion of low-income housing. Having said all that, we actually believe there is still more work to be done, and our office will continue to work with the Department of City Planning, the developer, and community stakeholders to ensure that benefits are brought to Hollywood through this project. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I thank you for the opportunity to speak. My name is James Courtway. My address is 1626 North Wilcox in Hollywood, 90028. In my opinion, the size and scope of this whole project is not only irresponsible but insane, and it is my humble opinion that if it wasn't for the power of the almighty lobbyists, it never would have gotten this far. Ironic that the Catholic Church so enthusiastically supports this project when many of its own, and I know this firsthand by the way, many of its own parishioners are tenants in one of the buildings or in a couple of the buildings that are going to be destroyed, and these people are going to potentially wind up homeless, yet they're parishioners of that very same church. Not only is this project going to destroy several culturally significant buildings, as has been told by others, but it's going to destroy over 84 homes to members of the community, some that have been members of the community for 30 plus years. Many with children that attend the local schools, those children will be torn away from their schools and their friends that they've made and sent to God knows where. I urge you guys to oppose this project, or at the very least, force them to allow the existing tenants to return with the current RSO and at the same rents. The proposed low-income units that they talk about are not going to help any of the tenants that are currently living on the property right now. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Is there anyone else wanting to speak on this project? Okay, so seeing no one else ready and willing, we'll close the public comment period. If the applicant can come up, please. I just have some questions. So one of the issues that was brought up consistently with respect to community concerns was associated with a number of live entertainment requests under the master conditional use, as well as the number of establishments. Can you, to the extent that you have the information available, elaborate on the types of uses that you anticipate to operate under the master conditional use?
Absolutely. Again, Kendra Casper, DLA Piper, representative of the applicant. So we are requesting the 22 uses, 8 of which will include live entertainment. All that information was sussed out in the project description, and of course that entitlement was requested for in the draft DIR, as well as in all of our applications. As set forth, the breakdown is generally as follows. 5 uses for the hotel, which would include restaurants in the hotel. 2 for off-site sales of alcoholic beverages, think wine shop or market, something like that, to that effect. And the other 15 uses would be associated with restaurants and bars throughout the 8.3-acre project site. So the idea would be to intersperse the various uses between what we call Parcel B, which is our middle parcel internal to the Paseo, as well as to have some of those uses in Crossroads of the World. And also, we don't exactly know what we're going to do with the Hollywood Reporter Building yet. Could be retail, but another use that we're looking at is a restaurant/event space use, so one of the licenses could actually work there. So the eight live entertainment uses relate to some of the uses would be in the hotel, and then a few of them would be interspersed between the Paseo and Parcel B, all internal to the site, and Crossroads of the World.
Okay, another issue that was raised was regarding covenanted off-site parking for an existing building or operator that has a master conditional use. So he wasn't sure if there, if his covenanted required off-site parking was on your location. So I just want to clarify for the record, does the project site now have any requirement to provide parking for any other use outside of the project?
No, it does not. My understanding is the covenanted parking for the use the gentleman was associated with is actually across the street on McCadden and not on any parcel within our project site, and there are no covenanted parking spaces on our project site for any other uses outside of our project site.
Okay, great, thank you. Can I get the traffic consultant who prepared the EIR on behalf of the city to come up and have some questions?
Hi, I'm Sarah Drobus with Gibson Transportation.
Thank you. So one of the recurring issues that were raised was relative to Caltrans. We understand that Caltrans has a memorandum of understanding with our Department of Transportation. One of the requirements under the MOU with the city is that if the project exceeds any screening criteria, they're supposed to evaluate additional studies. I'm not quite sure which ones. Per Caltrans approval, I just want to clarify, did this project exceed that screening criteria?
Yes, so this project did exceed the criteria set forth by the agreement. Caltrans was contacted and involved throughout this entire process and was part of the scoping process of the traffic study. The traffic study did actually do the detailed Caltrans analysis that was requested, and we have been we have fully disclosed all of that information in the EIR.
Okay. The other question I have is, my understanding is that Caltrans has no immediate plans to have any significant improvements or doesn't have any planned improvements for any of its facilities in the jurisdiction or the study area of the project. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, and it also doesn't have any thresholds by which a city can rely upon mitigation to provide a level of certainty that the mitigation would be done in such a manner as to actually mitigate any impacts that would be recreated or result from the project.
That is correct. They have no incremental thresholds.
Okay, that's all I wanted to clarify. Okay, can the environmental consultant for the city's EIR please come up?
Hi, Stephanie Eystone Jones with Eystone Environmental.
Okay, we can fix that. Hi.
Hi.
One of the issues that was raised was regarding liquefaction. Mm-hmm. The issue was raised was why the city didn't use the general plan safety element to make the determination as to liquefaction. Can you please clarify for the record what information we did use and which was provide the more accurate analysis?
Sure. So the EIR actually includes a detailed analysis of potential geotechnical impacts, excuse me, including liquefaction. So there was a detailed geotechnical report that was prepared for the project by a geotechnical engineer in accordance with all the relevant standards. So that is the data that we actually use for the
And so
EIR.
The geotech report, did it undertake borings on the property?
Yes, I believe there were borings taken on the property. I need to get it the
That's
document
fine.
To see how many, but yes, there were borings taken.
Okay, and so to verify for the record, the geotech report was shared with our Department of Building and Safety Grading?
Absolutely.
And they concurred with the findings?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you. Alejandro, this question is for you. There was a comment that the number of alcohol establishments and live entertainment establishments were neither listed in the project description or the hearing notice. Can you clarify for the record what was actually noticed?
Hi, this is Alejandro Huerta again with Major Projects.
And to answer your question, so Kendra Casper had answered the first part of it. It was in the EIR in the project description. And then B, when we noticed this hearing today, it was also included as part of the notice for that hearing. So the entitlements have been including the conditional uses, including the alcohol-related ones from the project EIR all the way till today.
Okay, thank you. Another point that was raised that I just wanted to clarify, can you turn off your phones? I'm not sure who that is. The other question that was raised was the transportation area plan that's mentioned in the CRA redevelopment plan. It is accurate that the CRA was supposed to have adopted two plans relative to the Hollywood redevelopment plan. One was an urban design component, the other was a traffic. That was never actually done. And yes, the CRA, the delegated authority, does still exist. It still technically functions. The Hollywood redevelopment plan is still technically live. It hasn't expired. But unless they adopt a transportation plan, the city can't measure the way the project exists or how it compares to that without it actually existing. So we don't have a plan by which to measure whether this project complies with it or not. So I just want to clarify that for the record. Did you want to add anything else?
I was just reviewing further down in the staff report part of the mitigation measures under DOT. It appears that most of the additional dedications or left turn or right turn part refers to the old plan that they had to realign Las Palmas. I'm not sure DOT has accurately responded looking at the revised map. Now that there is no a four-way intersection, it's going to be different now. It's a T-section instead of intersection. And if you look at the DOT recommendations, which is page 8, page 10, 11, condition 11. Those DOT recommendations are basically boilerplate conditions for small lot subdivision and condos. So definitely I can see that they did not even look at this project or coordinate with their office to see what they're, because usually on EIR, it's not the same people who make a comment. For EIR, there's a different division of DOT that makes the comment to the EIR. So I'm not sure planning department has received any kind of a mitigation measures from other divisions or bureaus or sections of DOT regarding any additional dedication or alignment. And so, and the people who are in charge of writing these conditions, I'm not sure that coordinated with each other to make sure that they report on the right one.
All right, and just to clarify that the conditions of approval are separate from the required mitigation. So there's standards that are regulatory by which DOT requires queuing and driveway widths and things like that. And then separately is the mitigation measures. And I think that what you're referring to is traffic mitigation MM4 on page 50 of the staff report. And so those requirements are separate than the ones in the conditions of approval. The conditions of approval are standard conditions that are applicable to most projects, and then the mitigations are site-specific relative to improvements necessary to mitigate any impacts. So we can work with DOT just to clarify that the mitigations in question are related to the project that's actually proposed.
Yeah, if they need an extra dedication, which affects the map, tentative map boundaries, and we are in charge of it in final map, well, we have to see where that comes from.
Right.
They should in detail mention it under their condition and also the widening or left turn under condition, because as you are aware, in case of the appeal, it should be a traffic measures that is appealed, not the engineering conditions. And that's why we like to keep it separate. So. Then DOT would be responsible to comment as to why or why not asking for certain things.
Okay, we can get that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and the traffic consultant, one more before you leave. There is a number of, one of the commenters spoke and then others supported or comment relative to the impacts of Highland. So I know the Highland was included in the traffic study area for the project.
The project under CEQA is only liable for the impacts in excess of current conditions. So you have your baseline current environment the environment for Highland traffic now versus plus the project and mitigation. And so can you describe the net increase or the net effect of traffic on Highland relative to this project?
Yes, we did analyze Highland Avenue as well as many other corridors, major corridors in the area. We analyzed over 111 intersections. Of those, we found that the incremental project impacts in those along Highland are large enough that they would be considered significant impacts. We identified 22 intersections that were significantly impacted by the project, of which we proposed several mitigation measures. After the mitigation measures, even with those mitigation measures, we still weren't able to fully mitigate those traffic impact levels down to below a level of significance.
So of the 22 impacted intersections, 22 would remain significant and unavoidable, or after mitigation, how many of those would remain significant and unavoidable?
Of the 22, we were able to mitigate 17. There are 5 remaining intersections, some of which are located along Highland Avenue.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay. So that concludes our hearing for today on this project. The tentative tract map or vesting tentative tract map number 73568 will be placed under advisement. If you would like a copy of the decision letter when it is issued, I recommend that you sign up on the pink sheet at the back of the room. You can include your mailing address or your email address, so you will get a copy of that when it is issued. You will also get a copy of the city's recommendation report to the City Planning Commission on their entitlements, and that is CPC 2015-2025. DBMCUPCUSPR and CPC 2016-4927-DA. Thank you so much for your attendance.